Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
It is 25 past four, and at this time of the afternoon, I chat to Professor Barry Shube, the former executive director of the National Institute of Communicable Diseases and Professor Emeritus of Virology at Wits University. Prof, good afternoon to you. Thank you for being with me this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Simon. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Prof, before we get to our normal daily chat about COVID, it just suddenly struck me that every time I turn on any media, you're there. You're talking to me. You're talking to SABC. You're talking to ENCA. Did you in your wildest dreams ever anticipate that this is the role that you would be playing, this very important role at the stage of your career?
You know, Simon, I wonder, people seem to be interested in COVID and COVID vaccines. I wonder why. It seems to be a bit topical.
No, 100%. One just would have thought, you know, you were entitled to a bit of rest at some point in your career. And it seems like you are turbocharging from one event to the next.
Yeah, well, somebody's got to do the job, I'm afraid. I don't know why they picked me. I scraped the bottom of the barrel.
I seriously doubt that, Prof. We're absolutely delighted and honored to have you on, and your contribution is highly valued. So let's get back to the COVID and the vaccines and what's going on. Today you're going to chat to us about the workings of Pfizer and Moderna.
Yeah, I thought it might be interesting, you know, to compare it with what we discussed yesterday with the adenovirus vaccine. With the adenovirus, with the Johnson & Johnson. And the AstraZeneca, those are also using very novel ways of making vaccine. I remember I discussed it yesterday that they used a vehicle called adenovirus to introduce the RNA of the virus, which codes for the spike protein to stimulate the immune system. Now the Pfizer and the Moderna also use the RNA of the virus, but they use the naked RNA virus, not going into any kind of virus. But they enclose, because it's a very fragile molecule, it's enclosed in a kind of a fatty little particle, it's a nanoparticle, so it's ultra microscopic. That's then injected into the arm and gets into the muscle cells. Now that RNA is a very fragile, it's got to be protected by this little fatty particle. Yeah. That introduces it into the cell. Once the RNA is into the cell, then it makes the protein, translates the protein, which stimulates the immune system. But I just want to kind of make the point that this RNA is a very fragile molecule. It doesn't last long because a lot of the people that are vaccine worried or vaccine hesitant, they worry that because you're getting RNA injected into you, it's going to influence your DNA and so on and so forth. And nothing of the sort, you know, where they've actually done experience with animals, you actually can't even demonstrate that RNA anymore. It's degraded. It's long gone. So it's just to reassure you on that particular score. Maybe I can talk about in my voice note tomorrow about vaccine hesitancy and why some people are worried about various aspects of vaccine.
I think that's hugely important, Prof, because so it appears that this is now becoming a problem and preventing herd immunity. So I'd be very grateful if you tackle that issue. I look at what's happening in Israel. I look at the reluctance now, specifically amongst younger people, and it almost seems to be sabotaging the process at some point.
Yeah. Now, good. I'll put it in the field voice note tomorrow.
Prof, so we leave it there for this afternoon. Thank you as always, and look forward to your voice note tomorrow.
Thanks very much. Thanks, Simon. Have a good one.
Cheers, Prof.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.